Okay, great. So the Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem lo tisgodedu v'lo tasimu karcha b'neinechem l'mes. Rashi explains this Gemara al pi pshuto, and this Gemara enjoins us as the Jewish nation from manifesting certain forms of grief and mourning after following the death, Rachman al Tzad, of a relative, the Goyim.
This morning stuff they were talking about that.
I'm a little behind, so I guess I didn't get up to that. But there's something called Gedida, where they used to actually take like a razor and you know, make incisions into their body. And that was part of their expression of mourning and grief. And the Torah says, we're not allowed to do so. And in the next pasuk it says, Ki am kadosh ato l'Hashem Elokecha, because you are a holy nation. However, you know, putting Rashi and what we call Pshuto Shel Mikra on the side for a moment, Chazal in the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis present a different drasha whatsoever. And we need, and we establish a whole new kind of Isur based on this pasuk here in our parish, in Parashat Re'eh, of Lo Tisgodedu. And we're going to derive actually two things from Lo Tisgodedu. One is the Isur Gedida, and the other is Lo Tasu Agudos Agudos. In other words, the Gemara takes Lo Tisgodedu out of its original pshat, and instead of learning it to refer to this act of Gedida, the word Tisgodedu comes from the word Aguda. Aguda means, of course, a group or a unit. And the Torah is telling us not to create these groups. Now, what this means, I'm not sure, but I just want to give you a little bit of an overview of some of the issues that we'd like to discuss today. And many of them are in the laws of tefillah, but some of them spill over even beyond that limited context of tefillah. With regard to minhagim, with regard to different nuschos, you have a group of people who are meant to, what word can I use, to jive together and form a unit and daven together as a tzibur. And strangely enough, the tzibur is divided into various groups. This one is davening Nusach Ashkenaz, this one's davening Nusach Sfarad, this one's davening Eidot HaMizrach, and it goes on and on and on. I'll give you an example. This is relevant to me almost on a daily basis. The Sfaradim do not have, as you know, Nefilas Apayim. I'm davening in a Sephardic minyan. Am I allowed, and others like me, who are, let's say, in the minority in this case, to fall Nefilas Apayim? Is that a violation of Lo Tisgodedu? In fact, it has also to do with whether you raise your voice when you daven. Ashkenazim very often will daven in a loud voice. Sfaradim, oh, look at that. Sfaradim, is that an Ashkenazic dog or a Sephardic dog? Anyway, so the Sfaradim daven in a low voice. Am I allowed to come into a Sephardic shul as an Ashkenazi with my Ashkenazic minhagim and my Ashkenazic siddur, and just completely oblivious to what's going on around me? Sfaradim, for example, will sit for Kaddish with few exceptions. Ashkenazim tend to stand almost universally for every single Kaddish within one group. Is that Lo Tisgodedu? Yeah? Okay. So these are some of the questions. Now, what I want to begin with in terms of this Lo Tasu Agudos Agudos is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Why is it that the Torah enjoins us from creating these two agudos? Rashi says Dinire kinagim shtei toros. If there are two behaviors within one group, it looks like there are two toros. You know, you have your Torah and I have my Torah. And that's something that could really undermine and be destructive to the entire fabric of Torah. The Rambam, on the other hand, takes a whole different perspective here. It has nothing to do with Ikrei Amunah, that, you know, we all have the same Torah that was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Har Sinai, but rather, it's a machlokas issue. That if you start, you know, proving your minogim and I proven my minogim, then ultimately we're going to come to loggerheads and there's going to be friction and tension between the two. And what I'd like to do in today's discussion is try to understand my nafkimina. What's the difference between this way of understanding Lotus Godudu and the other way of understanding Lotus Godudu? Now, the Gemara records a fundamental machlokes, actually a double machlokes, regarding the scope of this Isur of Lotus Godudu. And the first issue is whether or not Lotus Godudu will apply in two different places. Like, let's say, for example, in Toronto, you have the north, and you have Clanton Park, and you have the south, down in Rabbi Felder's neighborhood, wherever it might be. So let's say I have my minhag here in the north, and you have a minhag in the south. Is that Lotus Godudu? Does the city itself, as a halachic entity, because there are many halachs that reflect the status of an ear, require that there be one group and one halacha for the entire city? That's a machlok stream of Yochanan Reish Lakish. Some have it that the only time that Lotus Godudu applies is within one makom. But as long as we're different makomos, even within the same city, that's not a problem of Lotus Godudu. Then we have a machlok stream of Bai V'Rava. Bai V'Rava debate whether Lotus Godudu applies within the same city, but in two different Bate Dinim. So let's say, for example, in Yerushalayim, I mean, you can give 1,000 examples. In Yerushalayim, there's one Bezdin of the Ashkenazim, and there's another Bezdin of the Sfaradim. Rav Avad Yosef was not so excited about that. He felt that the original Jewish community here in the land of Israel, and specifically in two places, in Yerushalayim and in Sfat, were the Sfaradim. And therefore, they determined the nature of the Bezdin in that city. If you want to set up another Bezdin that completely, you know, there's a complete deviation, if you will, from the first Bezdin, that could be a problem of Lotus Godudu. Okay. Now what I want to share with you, if you could turn to page 4, is an insight of one of the Rashi Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva. We often quote the Rashi Yeshiva of Chevron. And this is a chiddush, an insight of Rabbi Aaron Yaffin. I don't know if you heard of the Yaffin family, but they were a prominent family back in the Lithuanian yeshivas 100 years ago. And this young man, Rabbi Aaron Yaffe, took upon himself to write an extensive commentary, if you will, called Ha'oris on the Ritva. And to be honest with you, you know, it comes to the point where you could hardly find a line of Ritva on the page. You know, it's just like the whole page is just filled with his insights. But the Ritva writes, and this you'll see in Yevamah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Hanochen B'Einei Kepirush Rashi Zal, that he accepts the understanding of Rashi, that the reason for Lotus Godudu is that we shouldn't look like two different Toros. And then he goes on to explain, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem, that we all come from the same father, we're all Bonim, and therefore Roy Lanu Shalolasos Hagudos Hagudos Ki Ilu Sheyesh Shtei Toros, as if there are two Toros. Oh. Now, in the footnotes, there are, again, as I say, extensive footnotes here, but we're going to focus on footnote number 1 on the page, which is 2951, if you have that. Right, that's the first footnote on this page. And he writes, Hatam Shekosav Rabbeinu Le'isra Agudis Mishum Shtei Turos Hu Atak. He says, you'll find it in other Rishonim, and in Rashi, and the Rush, and in the Meiri, and so forth and so on. But the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Beis Milchas Akum, Halach Yud Dalid, and so you'll find in the Chinuch Tov Samach Hei, Tama Isa Mishum Shegoreim L'machlokis. It's going to cause a division and all sorts of, you know, put up your dukes and kinds of fights. So he writes that there's an afkamina between the two. And that is, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that in two different locations, there's no lotus godedu. And Rav Yaffin claims that the reason for the Rambam, the reason for Rabbi Yochanan, is because the shita of the Rambam and his understanding of why the Torah prohibited lotus godedu was adopted by and reflected in Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Yochanan holds that since we're worried about machlokes, if there are two different groups within the same locale, that's going to cause machlokes. But if they're two different locations, that's not going to cause machlokes. And if the reasoning of Rashi were true, then Rabbi Yochanan would have to agree to Reish Lakish that even in two different locations, you know, people travel from one location, one area to the other, although they're not going to create machlokes in, but it's going to appear in the eyes of the spectator as if they're two different Torahs. So that's nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two, and here he claims that he found it in the Meshiv Dover, the Netziv Mivalosh, and his Tshuva Sefer is called the Meshiv Dover, that there's a machlokas between Abai Verava, as we mentioned before, about two Batei Dinim in the same city. And he wants to say the following: if you're worried about machlokas, the way the Rambam has it, then certainly Abai is correct that even in two Batei Dinim, you're going to create a whole hullabaloo here. You know, you follow this Bezdin, I follow this Bezdin, and let's fight it out. But if the understanding is that it's Mirakish Shtei Toros, the way Rashi says it, then at least according to his understanding, that doesn't apply in two Batei Dinim. Why? Because we have a rule with regard to Torah, Elu ve'elu divrei l'kim chayim, that there is room for debate. You could have your opinion if it's based on the Mesoras HaTorah, I can have mine, that Talmidei Chachamim will come to different conclusions about the same issue. And therefore, if it's one Bezdin here that came to one conclusion, another Bezdin says another conclusion, that's not called Nirikish Shtei Toros. So again, let me just summarize, if I can, the insights of Rabbi Aaron Yaffin to understand what's the nafkamina, what are the nafkaminas between Rashi and the Rambam. And he says the following: if you're operating with Nirikish Shtei Toros, or you're operating with Shelo Ligro Machlokes, meaning Rashi or the Rambam, so he says the following: that according to the Keren Orah, the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about one location versus two locations is identical to the machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi. Meaning, if I apply the logic of Rashi and we're worried about Nirikish Shtei Toros, then that could apply even in two cities. If on the other hand I'm applying the reasoning of the Rambam of machlokas, then we don't have to be choshesh for Lotus Godlu from Machlokes in two different cities. According to the Netziv, the Machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is identical with the Machlokes between Abai Verava. Abai understands that the problem here is Machlokes, and there may be Machlokes within the city if there are two Batei Dinim that go on different levels. As far as Nirikish Shtei Toros, we could always justify it and say, okay, these two Batei Dinim represent two schools of thought within the Halach. Comes along the Netziv, and he says, Pumfakert. that the machlokas between Abaye and Rav should be understood in the exact opposite direction. And he wants to say the following. If the problem is nirikishtei toros, then the problem should apply like Abaye has it in two batidinim within the same city. And why is that? Because the people are not sophisticated enough to understand that this is not two toros. These are just two different views, two different opinions. And therefore, they are coming to the conclusion that, you know what, there's a different Mesorah. One Beis Din got a particular tradition that dates back to Moshe Har Sinai, and Chas V'Shalom, the other Beis Din got a different tradition. And never the twain shall meet, there's no overlap, and therefore it's Nirikishtei Toros. But in contrast, Rav is of the opinion that if you have two Batei Dinim in one city, there's no Iser Lotus go to do, because the Iser is Bishum Machlokes. And since these different views derive from Batei Dinim, each Beis Din comes to its own conclusion. That's not called Machlokes. And the proof of the pudding is Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. The Gemara tells us that Beis Hillel had their Beis Din, Beit Shammai had their Beis Din, and that's not called Mipnei Machlokes. Any questions so far? All right.
Why would they, if Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, everybody would understand that? Why can you not use that to go against the first?
He's saying the following. This is exactly the opposite of what we said. The Netziv is saying that in the case of two Batei Dinim, like the Beis Din of Beis Hillel and the Beis Din of Beit Shammai, you know what? Well, we don't have to worry about machlokas here because Enochidami, Beit Shammai have a right to their opinion, and Beis Hillel to their opinion, and Elu Ve'elu, that's not a machlokas. The problem is going to be you and I, if we're not part of this Beis Din and we're not part of that Beis Din, all of a sudden we get hit with a different tradition, like if you've learned Yevamos, you know about the case of Tzara Sota, whether she falls for Yibum or the Katris in Erev, Machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. I hear two different things. You know, from my right ear, I hear that Tzara Sota falls for Yibum and there's a mitzvah of Yavim. From my left ear, I hear Beis Hillel saying that Tzara Sota is an Erev and it's a Chiyuv Kares if they consummate such a marriage relationship, not in the midst of Yibum. So in my view, says the Netziv, I hear that there are two traditions. And what I'm going to mistakenly conclude is that, you know, each tradition really has some sort of very holy source back in Sinai, in Moshe Rabbeinu, the 40 days he was on the mountain. And that's called Nirikishtei Toros. The fact that one Beis Din paskins this way and comes to the conclusion interpreting the Torah to their view and the other view, that's not a problem of Nirikishtei Toros. That means that each Beis Din has a right to come to the same conclusion. And therefore, again, just to summarize the Netziv wants to say that according to Rava, since Rava maintains that the problem is machlokes, he says, two batei dinim in the same city, that's not a machlokes. I mean, it is a machlokes, but it's a machlokes l'shem shamayim. All right, let's see if we can, again, try to embellish this a little further, and then Amir Tzashem, hopefully, you know, the picture will take on a, you know, it'll be more flesh and blood, so to speak. And I want to see how we can apply it to some very, very relevant, almost daily contemporary scenarios. The Rambam, which we mentioned earlier, is in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim. It's on the top of your page 2. And the Rambam writes the following. Bichlal, this is Halacha Yudalid, Bichlal Azhorazu, Shaloyu Shnei Bote Dinim Beir Achas, Zenoe Kiminhogo, Zenoe Kiminog Acher, Shedover Ze Goreim Lamachlokes Gedola. So the Rambam, as we said earlier, understands that what underlies the Iser of Lotus Godadu is the problem of Gram Machlokes. And he embellishes it, he sort of dramatizes it, machlokes gedola. This could create a great machlokes. Now, we just finished saying that according to Rava, you can have two batei dinim in the same city, each one with its own minhag, because that's not called machlokas. Each bezdin arrived at its own personal conclusion. Why? Because elu v'elu, as we discussed before. Now, what we would anticipate, if the Rambam is holding that the Iser of Lotus Godu of Agudas Agudas is because of Gram Machlokas, then whom should he paskin like in the Machlokas Abai Verova? Like Abai who prohibits two Bate Dinim in the same city, or like Rava who says there's no Iser Lotus Godu in two Bate Dinim in the same city? According to the Netziv Mivalojin, how should the Rambam paskin? You're not following me. Should I backtrack again? The Netziv Svara is that if they still have their Bezdin in the city, and Beit Shammai have their Bezdin in the city, that's not a problem of Lotus Godudu, as Rava says. And the reason for it is that's not called Machlokes. And if it's not called Machlokes, then there's no Lotus Godudu, and it's Mutter. The Rambam, on the other hand, paskins that the reason why there's an Iser of Lotus Godudu is because it's going to be a Gram Machlokes. No, so what should the Rambam paskin like in the case of two but they did it within the same city? Should it be allowed or prohibited?
Not allowed.
Again, the Rambam holds Mishum Machlokas. And we said that two but they didn't have the right to argue one with the other. That's not a problem of Machlokas.
Depends how big the city is.
Okay, Joe, you know, you're getting off on a tangent. You know, so far, no one has addressed the issue of how large the city is. But again, you know, it's a city like Toronto, let's say. Is Toronto a large city or not? I don't know how you define it.
Large city.
All right, it's a large city, but you know, are we going to allow two Bate Dinim in the same city of Toronto? Well, Rava says it's okay. Rava says it's okay. Says the Netziv. You know why Rava says it's okay? Because there's no Gram Machlokas here. Each person has a right to come to its own conclusion and justify its position. Fascinating. You have it even Lahavdil in courts. You have certain courts, like in America, you have the more liberal interpretation of the Constitution courts, and you have the more strict literal interpretation of the courts, and so forth and so on. That's the name of the game. So Rav allows that, because says that it's if there's no Gram Machlokas here, each court is entitled to its own opinion. On the other hand, Abai says that even in the case of two different Bate Dinim in the same city, the third guy, the onlooker, he's worried about Shtei Toros. He thinks that each Bezdin has its own Torah that it received in tradition and transmission from Har Sinai. That's a problem. Oh, the Rambam writes that the reason for Lotus Godudu, let's see it again, says the Rambam, Dover Zeh Gori L'Machlokes Gedola. So he's on the page of the Rambam, because he is the Rambam, that the reason for this Isur is because Machlokas. What do we anticipate the Rambam's view would be on the Machlokas Shina Bai Verova? Which Shita should he adopt? The more Chumradika Shita of Abaye, or the more liberal allowing Shita of Rava?
Depends on how he looks at the...
I'm saying according to the Netziv. The Netziv says that Gram Machlokas does not apply in the case of two Bate Dinim in the same city, and therefore Rav allows it. That's not called Machlokas.
He would say it's okay because...
He should say it's okay. Like who? Like Rava. Right? Rava says it's okay. And guess what? Take a look at the Rambam again. Ubechlal azhorazu, included in this Isur, shalo yush nebat edidim be'ir achas. Two bat edidim in the same city prohibits it. He's adopting the view of Abaye. Says the Kesef Mishnah, we never adopt the view of Abaye against Rava, except, of course, Yechiel's learning Daf Yomi, except in six cases. I should test you if you know all six cases. It's called Yal Kagam. One of them, which is the ayin of Ya'al, right after the Yud, is Edim Zomim. When Abai Shita and Masechta Bava Kamma is that Eid Zomim Lamafreahu Nifsal in Perek Meruba. Right? So, but this is not one of those exceptions. Therefore, it's very odd, says the Kesef Mishnah, that the Rambam paskins like Abaye when the rule of thumb is we don't paskin like Abaye. But Rav Yachin adds another question on the Rambam. Since the Rambam explains that the reasoning that underlies the Isur of Lo Tisgo to do is machlokes, that shouldn't apply in two batei dinim, because the Netziv Mivaloshin says that in two batei dinim there is no problem of machlokes. Then, according to the Netziv Mivaloshin, it's even clearer that the Rambam adopts the Shita of Abaye against the Shita of Rav. So that's the Pella here within the Rambam. And this difficulty in the Rambam is going to be addressed by Rav Yaffin in this very, very long, extensive footnote that you saw in the Ritva in Yevamos Yud Gimel on page 4. But before we get to that, because there's just so much to do in the short amount of time that we have, and I want to get to some of the major issues here, Halacha Lemaisa. If you take a look on page 3, you'll see the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach. And there he discusses Minhagim of Sfiras HaOmer, amongst which the Ramah classifies Mekomo Shenogim Listapir Milag BaOmer V'Elech. He says that there are those who have the Minhag that permit haircuts after Lag BaOmer, and there are those who say no, that you cannot take a haircut even after Lag BaOmer, only on Lag BaOmer itself. Says the Ramah, V'lo yinagu bi'ir achas, in one city we should not have and tolerate a situation where some have the minhag to shave or to take haircuts because it's after Lag BaOmer, and some have the minhag not to shave. Why? Because Mishum Lotis go to do. Because to have two such minhagim in the same city would be a violation of Lo Tis go to do.
And we do have that. There are those that shave, there are those that don't, and those that keep it starting go right the Omer right after Pesach, and those that don't, that wait for Rosh Chodesh.
So that's my question to you, Yechiel. I mean, you and I are on the same page. If you're telling me that, as the Ramah has it, that the two minhagim about shaving and so forth and so on in the same city, that's intolerable because the lotus go to do, how do we justify, you know, our daily life? And this question is going to come up again and again in various forms, where you'll see that what we're doing today really reflects a violation of Lo Tisgo to do. But let me build up to that. The Mishnah tells me in Psachim, and this you'll see on page 3, the Mishnah tells me that as far as Moloch on Erev Pesach is concerned, I'm sorry, on page 2, there's Makom Shenagu Lasos Moloch Barve Psachim. There are those who in the morning of Erev Pesach allow Moloch, they go to work, etc. And then he writes, but there are other makomos, there are other places where they have a different minog, and they abstain from Moloch on Erev Pesach. And he says that al yishana odom mipnei machlokes. He writes that a person should not deviate from the local custom because that will create machlokes. What I see here in both the Ramah with regard to shaving after Lag BaOmer and in the Mishnah in Psachim in Makom Shenagu, that if Lo Tisgo to do is based on Machlokes, then it applies even to Minhagin. You have one Minhag, I have another Minhag. If we both observe different Minhagin respectively in the same city, that's a violation of Lo Tisgo to do. And Rabosa, I think I told you that I was down in North Miami Beach maybe 10 years ago, it was Chol HaMoed Pesach, I believe, yeah. And guess what I find? That 60% of the people in the Olam, according to Mari Ashara, were not wearing tefillin. 40% were wearing tefillin. And the takana is that if you want to daven for the Amud and that young Israel, you have to wear tefillin. Otherwise, you're possible. Very odd situation. Here in Eretz Yisrael, you won't see this kind of monkey business.
You won't see the tefillin during Chol-Moed. You get lynched if you put on tefillin during Chol-Moed.
So I just want to understand, you know, I'm not here to justify the minhagim in North Miami Beach, but I would like to understand, if we're telling you here, clearly from the Ramah in terms of shaving, And from the Mishnah itself, in terms of the makom, the minagam makom of, to abstain from Allah on Erev Pesach or not, then clearly there's an issue of machlokas here. How do we justify these two minhagim coexisting simultaneously in the same place? And the truth is that if you look in the Mishnah Berurah here, on the bottom of page 2, he talks about lo yase b'yishuv b'nei machlokes, that if a person has a minog to do malacha on Erev Pesach, and he comes into the yishuv, he comes into a well-populated Jewish neighborhood where they abstain from malacha, he's got to abstain from malacha because mibnei machlokes. And he quotes the Mishnah in Pesach that we saw before, and the Mishnah writes klolo shel davar besif zeh l'das magen avram v'kama farshim that hechlitu la'alocha came. They made a decision la'alocha that that's how we paskin, and that we're not going to tolerate this kind of machlokas. But then he writes v'yochel linog la'hakel k'minig makom b'tzina b'toch besa. He says if he wants to do it locked up in his house, he's allowed to do it, and there's no lotus go to do, you're not going to gender machlokas. I don't know. You know, we usually say that anything that's usur is usur even in private. You know, it's like marasayan and things like that. He says, but farhesya ain't lo lahakil b'fnei machlokas. You're doing malacha. It's very hard to lock yourself in a room and nobody finds out about it. It has a certain noise to it. Within the city, meaning we're in the Jewish populated areas. He's got to pick himself up and go beyond the radio, you know, the outskirts of the city limits, and that's where he's allowed to do his malacha. Okay, fine, and the Mishnah Berurah reiterates and strengthens his position in Sif Yud Zayin. He writes, "V'nei machlokas afilu b'tzina," even in private. And then he writes, "Shelo yira." Okay, so this word I can't make out, so I'll leave it out. Okay, fine. That's more or less the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, fine. So again, just to summarize.
That makes sense. If it's Betzina, how can that create machlokas?
So he's saying that Betzina, he says as a general rule, Dan, let me just say, when you do it as a general rule, with the exception of Malacha, when you do Betzina, he says that's mutter. You don't have to worry about lotus godudu and creating machlokas. But the exception, he claims, is here in this Mishnah in Psachim, the beginning of Makom Shenagu, and codified by the Shulchan Aruch in Tav Samaches, Malacha. He says Malacha has some sort of a rash to it. Again, you might ask yourself, well, if I use my computer and I lock my door, who has to know about it? You know, the computer doesn't make that much noise. Although, truth be told, sometimes you hit the wrong button and all of a sudden you hear some loud music going on. You know? But
he cooks and smoke comes out of the chimney.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you mean, yeah, the smoke that's coming out of the chimney. You know, they say about what was his name? He was the famous Israeli writer 100 years ago. What was his name? Oh yeah, Bialik. So they say, you know, Bialik was the yeshiva bacha in Volozhin. But even in Volozhin, not everyone was from. So they caught three guys in Volozhin smoking on Shabbos in the bathroom. They locked themselves up. So they asked the first guy, "Why are you smoking?" "Oh, Yavei, I forgot it's Shabbos." They asked the second yeshiva bacha, "Why are you smoking?" He says, "Oh yeah, I forgot you're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos." Then they asked Bialik, and he says, "I forgot to close the window." You know. So that, you know, when it comes to malacha, the Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion that there's a smoke, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Fine, but it's quite clear that within the same community, we have a serious problem of various minhagim, and the Ramah says, therefore, It's got to be one uniform minhag. Otherwise, it's a violation of lo tisgodedu with two minhagim that are different one from the other within the same location. Oh, so based on this, the Netziv wants to know what happens if I walk into a shul and the people are davening Nusach Sfarad and I want to daven my Nusach, which is Nusach Ashkenaz. So he says the following. These are different minhagim. There's a problem of lotus go to do, but he wants to differentiate between tefillah b'lachash, when I'm davening quietly to myself, that I can say, I can do my own thing, and there's no lotus go to do, like the Mishnah Berurah about Betzina. But says the Netziv Mivalojin, tefillos hanemaros b'kol ram, anything that's said out loud, or anything that requires a tzibur, like Kedusha, there should be an Isur of lo tisgodedu. Why? Because these are two minhagim within the same community. That's a problem of lo tisgodedu. He says, b'tfila b'lachash, he wants to say, okay, maybe we could stretch it a little bit because it's b'lachash, it's b'tzinah. Then he writes, afilu b'tfila b'lachash, he's not so excited about it. Also, l'shanos me'anusach shenagu mikvar. He says, maybe you'll say that even in lachash, he says, ein kam mishum lo tisgodudu. He says he's doing it for lachash, there's no lo tisgodudu. I'm reading the Netziv, which you'll find on page 5. But he says, alo v'kedushos shebekol ram, but when you answer kedusha and you're yelling it out loud, Vaday osur l'shanos miminog shehu sham mipnei machlokes. Ulafia Rambam, whenever there's a machlokes, the Rambam holds, that is a violation of lo tisgodedu.
Wow.
So on both sides, people don't know this, but this is the Netziv Mivalojin. You know, if Berzon came along and said this, you'd say, oh, that's the chumer of the week. You know, I'm not allowed to answer Kedusha in my Nusach. No. And you hear this all the time. People change the Nusach of the community and they yell out and scream it out. We're going to have a problem in just a minute about Sfaradim, who have a different nusach of Kaddish. Kaddish is obviously recited out loud.
All the time, in my shul in Beer Sheva, my Ashkenaz shul I go to, there's lots of Sfaradim that dumb there. You get the Kaddish, and they add the words, and the Ashkenazim wait, but the Sfaradim add their words.
Okay, so we're going to see about that. Rabbi Avadi Yosef is going to try to justify this. But in any event, first I wanted to tell you something from the Chassam Sofer. Now, the Chassam Sofer had two great Rebbeim. And, you know, it's interesting when he tells a Maisa that he saw what we call a Maisa Rav from both Rav Nosson Adler and the Haflah. This you'll see on page 6. He says, they had a minog to daven Nusach Ari. I'm fascinated by that. I didn't realize that amongst real Ashkenazim, they had the minog of Nusach Ari, because they felt that Nusach Ari was the correct Nusach. Yesterday I was at the Kever, the Tzion of the Arizal in Sfaz. And one of the great, great things that the Ari did was he really researched the Nusach HaTfilah and he got rid of a lot of mistakes. And Rav Nosson Adler and the Haflah both accepted the Nusach Ari. And they davened it even in a Nusach Ashkenaz Shul. Now Nusach Ari is radically different than Nusach Ashkenaz. And the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, which you'll see in Chelek Aleph Siman Tesvav on page 6, is a Maisa Rav. Maisa Rav means it's not enough that the Chassam Sofer paskins leniently that you're allowed to do this, but he testifies that that's what his Rebbeim did. But lo and behold, we fast forward to Chelek Vav of the Chassam Sofer, also on the same page, and there he talks about a Kahal Sfaradim, a community of Sfaradim, and they wanted to continue their Nusach, their Minog, to daven Nusach Sfaradim, and this group of people, showed up in an Ashkenazic Beit Knesset. Says the Chassam Sofer, despite the fact that they desired to continue davening in their Nusach Lo Yasukeh, they should not do so. Mechashash Iser Lotus Godedu. Now, wait a second. In Chelek Aleph of Tshuvas Chacham Sofer, he quotes his Rebbeim, and they themselves daven Nusach Ari in an Ashkenazic shul, changing and deviating from the Nusach. No Lotus Godel. And that's called a Maisara. In Chelek Vav of the same book of Tshuvas, he writes that the Sephardim are not allowed to daven their Nusach in a Beit Knesset of Ashkenazim. Now, the only thing I could say is, but it's very difficult to push this into the Chacham Sofer, is that what he was testifying about his Rebbeim was Balachash. They davened Nusach Ari in a quiet tone, in an undertone. Nobody had to know about it. I don't know. I can't tell you that that's what he has in mind. Whereas when the Sfaradim, you know, they boldly, you know, would yell out their Nusach, that was already Bifar Hesya. But here, Avosai, we don't have that much time, but I want to cover with you at least two more things. One is on page 6, and that's the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And the other thing I want to cover with you is a quick overview of some of the issues of Sfaradim and Ashkenazim and Rav Avadia Yosef's approach with regard to Lo Tiskodudu, and the question of whether you rely on the Eruv, you don't rely on the Eruv. Some people say you can't rely on the Eruv, and others say, no, I'm going to rely on the Eruv. Is that a violation of Lo Tiskodudu? So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes the following. And this is in Aruch Chaim Chelek Beis. He writes, Yochol lomar kenusach sherogil bo. This sounds like the first tshuva of the Chacham Sofer. You can continue davening in your particular nusach. V'lo shayach bazeh isur shinui mipnei hamachlokes shetnan bipsochim. And the isur of machlokes, which applies in the Mishnah Pesachim, if you do work on Erev Pesach, has no application here to the nusach. Even though we have here now two nuschos in the same community, in the same kehilah, nechshav ze tfila b'tzibur kevan shemispalim biyachad. Unbelievable. The very fact that I'm coming to daven with you in the same tzibur, I'll just dramatize this. I mean, this is not the case of Rav Moshe, but let's say I'm a Sfaradi, and there are 9 Ashkenazim. Or let's say I have 9 Sfaradim, and we need a 10th guy, so we pull in an Ashkenazi. The very fact that we pulled in an Ashkenazi means that he, the Ashkenazi, is together with us as one unit, as one entity. Says Rav Moshe, Achidish. Rosh Hashiva is Achidish. His achab is that now there's no Lotus Godin, because what's Lotus Godin? We're two different groups. We're not two different groups. We're the same group. And then he writes, "Bidvarim shetzarach dafka tzibur kedosh kamo kedusha muchrach lomar nusach shalat tzibur." He says, up until what point can you claim, well, you're part of the same tzibur? That's only if you're saying your own nusach. Even though it's different, it deviates from the nusach of the Kal. But as soon as you get up to say Kedusha, now, if you recite your own nusach of Kedusha, says Rav Moshe, at that point, if you don't accept the nusach of the Tzibur, then you are actually removing yourself from the Tzibur. And therefore, it's Lotus Goated. That's the Tshuva in Chelek Beis. Now, he expands it in another tshuva, which you'll see on page 7, and he writes, "Kol hadvarim levad tefilas shmonesrei tzarich lispal benusach hatzibur." Now he wants to say that you should adjust yourself to the nusach of the tzibur with regard to everything, with the exception of shmonesrei. Shmonesrei, since you're saying it belachash, you can rely on that. And all these distinctions of Rav Moshe have to be understood. You know, there are like hair's breadth of differences here. When Lotus Godel applies, when it doesn't. And he writes, "Bevadai, there's no doubt about it. Yesh isur Lotus Godel do v'isur l'shanos me'aminog v'nei machlokes b'minhogim gam le'inyan anochas tefillin b'chol ha'moed." He says that if there are two different minhogim regarding chol ha'moed, they can't show up in the same city, because that would be Lotus Godud, Vishinu Nusach HaTfilah. And to create two different nuschos, except for the exception that he said about Tfilah B'Lachash, And therefore, in Rotz Lomar Vidui Kodim Nefilas Apayim, there are those who have a according to their Nusach that we recite Vidui before we do Nefilas Apayim. He says, Dafka below Shum Ekeir Lachridi Shehu below Hakar Belev. He should make sure that he doesn't beat his breast, because then everybody sees he's saying Vidui and we're not saying Vidui. This appellate to me, because again, this touches on what I asked you at the outset. If I show up in a Sephardic minog, Sephardic shul, and I fall on my head for the fields on my forehead for this fields kapayim, according to Rav Moshe's standards, l'fiyani is daiti, if I understand correctly, that would be a violation of lotus kodidu. It's exactly the same as someone who claps al chait and vidui when the tzibur is not reciting vidui. A Sephardi shul will recite vidui, but they don't fall down for nefil sapayim. You know that. Hello? Anybody home?
Say it again.
A Sephardi shul will recite vidui immediately after chazoras hashatz.
Yeah.
But they do not, the Sephardim, I'm talking about the real Sephardim, right? The first minig is true for Nusach Sephardim as well, but what's unique about, again, not unique, I mean, they think we're the ones who are unique, the Ashkenazim. But what the Sephardim refuse to do is to fall on the forehead for the Tefillas Apayim. They say the Tefillas Apayim in a sitting position. And the reason for that is because outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we're not allowed to fall on the ground. So the Ashkenazim say, all right, we're not falling on the ground, we're just putting our head on our arm. But the Sephardim are very makpid about that. They don't allow that. And I'm telling you this.
Should I stop doing that?
What?
Should I stop?
I don't know. Again, if you would have asked me, Yechiel, 2 days ago, I would have told you that's exactly what I do. But now, when I see the tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, and it's crystal clear that he's worried about Lotus Godedu, and here we have a tshuva from the famous Rabbi Nasha Klein, Mishnah Aluch, as I quoted many times, he says, Misha Somech al Eruv, Madua Rashoy Letaltel. Who gave you the right to rely on the Eruv and say, you know, this is not an Issur Lotus Godedu, those guys don't rely on the Eruv. Now again, I don't understand why the Mishnah Aluch, if you take a look carefully on page 7, you have to go through the tshuva with a fine tooth comb. L'chora, why not say that the people who don't rely on the Eruv, they're violating Lotus Godedu? But apparently he's willing to accept that because that's a chumrah. You know, you're of the opinion that the Eruv is unreliable for whatever reason. You know, it's a Rishus HaRabim. And I mentioned here, you know, the various experts in Toronto, you know, on this issue, including my friend who passed away recently, what's his name, Kurtz? He may be a distant cousin to Wayne, but Baruch Hashem, Wayne is Tzarichat Yomim, but who passed away?
Yitz.
Yeah, Yitz was, I don't know if you know this, everybody knows this, Yitz was the expert on the Eruv. And way back when, you know, when they created the Eruv, this is before Reb Shlomo Miller's time, they brought in Yitz as the expert engineer, you know, with all the issues that come up in Erevin. And, you know, those who learned Daf Yomi, I always ask them, did you finish Erevin? Because the classical case of someone who drops Daf Yomi is when he gets to Masechta number 3. You know, Bracha is Nishkasha. Shabbos, challenging, but you can do it. Then he gets to Erevin, you know. How many black can you do Daf Yomi in Erevin? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so what's the law with regard to the mitzvah of Yibum? Rabbi Avad Yosef, in a Tshuva Yabia Omer, with regard to the mitzvah of Yibum, says that there are Sfaradim that even to this day have a tradition to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, I mean, I never saw it, but there are such communities. They never accepted the tradition to avoid Yibum. And not only that, the Shulchan Aruch quotes such a minhag. He says, why isn't there an Issur of Lotus Godedu? Because there are those who abstain from Yibum. And he writes the following: Kol davar sheshanui behevdil minog bein Sfaradim haposkim kimaron eshulchan aruch vashkenazim hayotzim biyad ramah ein lachshosh klal leisalot tisgodedu v'asur l'shanos mipnei haminog. So even though the Ashkenazic minog, and it's very powerful, is to avoid Yibum at all costs, he says that those Sfaradim that have the minog to implement and fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum should not worry about Hayotzim v'yad ramah. It's very interesting, a play on words, because Yad Ramah means the iron fist, you know, to the rebellious fist is written with a hey at the end. But here Ramah is written with an aleph at the end, because he's referring to the Ramah. And he wants to know what happens in Chevron Yeshiva, what's the din regarding a Dot HaMizrach, they're learning in Ashkenazic Yeshiva, in Yeshivat Chevron, are they allowed to cut their hair from Shivasa V'tamas until Shavua Shechalbo? You know, as far as the 3 weeks are concerned, the Ashkenazim are machmir from the beginning of the 3 weeks with Shivasa V'tamas, as far as them take haircuts, up until Shavua Shechalbo. He says, what should they do? Should they take haircuts? After all, they're Sfaradim, they don't have Mizrach. Or is there a violation of Lotus Godadu? And we saw already in the Ramah that the Ramah is worried about those who shave and those who don't shave in the same city after Lag BaOmer. Says Rav Avad Yosef, Min Adin Mutal Lehem L'Staper. They're allowed to take haircuts because that's the real minhag in Yerushalayim. Like the Sfaradim, like the Shulchan Aruch. He says, I'll even give him a bracha for that because, you know, he still feels that maybe we should avoid machlokes if there are those who are taking haircuts during the 3 weeks in a yeshiva where the minig is not to take haircuts for the 3 weeks. And the last thing I wanted to tell you, which you'll find on page 9, is that Rabbi Avram Farbstein, Zichron Levracha, I knew him personally during his lifetime. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron. That was a glorious period in the history of Chevron Yeshiva. And he's quoted in the Knesset Avram on Masechet Yevamos. And he really, really goes into this sugya in great depth and analyzes it. And again, we don't have time now to go through all of it, but you just to get a picture of how he divides up the issues of Lotus Godu. He starts in Siman Aleph with the machlokas between Rashi, who says that it's Nirikish De Toros, and the Rambam, who says it's Gori L'machlokas. In the second paragraph, he says that many paskin like the Rambam, and therefore there's a din of Lotus Godu, even in Shnei Bati Dinim, Be'er Achas like Abaye, despite the Tmiya Gedola of the Kesef Mishnah, how can we pass him like Abaye against Rava? But nevertheless, that opinion has been accepted by many, many Achronim. Fine. Then in Sif Gimel, he mentions that it's very difficult to reconcile the Rambam of Shnei Bate Dinim being Osir in the same city, and the Rambam's opinion that Lotus Godudu is Mishum Gram Machlokes. He doesn't think that that's Gram Machlokes. It might be an issue of Shtei Toros, but not Gram Machlokes. And he finally concludes, which is a pretty radical position in Siv Dalid, that even according to the Rambam, the Ikara Isur Hu Basias HaMitzvos Bofanim Chalukim Bein HaGudos. He says when different groups have different ways of fulfilling the mitzvos, the different ofanim basiyas on mitzvahs, he says that itself, even according to the Rambam, is the yesoda yesodos, the fundamental reason for Lotus Godudu. And that's going to be considered agudos agudos, because each one of these agudos has his own way of fulfilling the mitzvah. That doesn't sound like Rav Avadia Yosef in the case of Yibum, by the way. And therefore, he wants to write Venira Ode Deklape Minhaga Lo Shayach Dina Delotis Godudu. He wants to suggest that with regard to Minhagim, maybe there is no problem with Lotus Godudu, because that's exactly what a minig is about. That you follow your tradition, your minig, I follow mine. That's not called Agudos Agudos. But he admits in the balance of this presentation that his chiddush is not, does not reflect itself in the codes, in the poskim, because they apply lotus geldu to shinin minhagim, for example, the case of Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. He says, for example, with regard to Hanukkah, how to light Hanukkah candles, there are a lot of different minhagim of Ishu Beso. The Sfaradim will light one candelabra for the entire house. The Ashkenazim have everyone lighting their own. And he says that there are some poskim who want to claim that that's Shnei Batei Din Bir Achas. And we can't have two different minhagim in one city. And other issues that apply to the minhagim of the Ashkenazim versus the minhagim of the Sfaradim. Mishenoig lispalel Sfaradit, Asur lo lispalel came to base Knesset, Shal Ashkenazim, Mishim lo tizgodidu. All these poskim assume that there is lo tizgodidu with regard to various minhagim. And he goes on to quote the Chassam Sofer. And these are some of the, again, just offering you an overview conceptually of what the issues are. And I'm encouraging everyone, if you have a chance, you know, within 45 minutes, we can't cover the whole sugya. It's a very complicated and relevant sugya, to go through, you know, the various poskim. And I think there are a lot of things that we do, and that was your question before, Yechiel, that are highly questionable and they should be re-examined in the light of Lotus Code.
According to what we learned here this morning, every day we're doing stuff wrong. Certainly in Eretz Yisrael.
So how do you explain it, Rob?
Look,
explanation?
In the case of Chol HaMoed, you know, with regard to Tefillin, the only thing I could say is that if you accept the Rambam of Gram Machlokes, then true, I grant you that in the initial historical period in which these two minhagim deviated and were generated, that's a serious issue of gram machlokas. But perhaps, again, I'm not a posek, so don't, this is not worth much. But perhaps as time goes on and various minhagim become well accepted and well trenched in different locations, when we get together and we want to be part of one minyan, if you remember the story that we said before, we're really davening as one aguda, as one group. And you understand that you're following your minig, I'm following my minig, I respect you, you respect me, and it shouldn't come to machlokas. Here in Eretz Yisrael, with regard to Chol HaMoed, you mentioned it before, there's zero tolerance for putting on tefillin in Chol HaMoed, because there never was such a minig here in Yerushalayim. If, on the other hand, you have two minhagim, you know, Sfaradim have developed their minhagim over the course of many, many centuries, and the Ashkenazim as well. Okay, you want to say your Kaddish, and your Nusach is, you know, is well anchored in a long tradition. Fine, I'm going to be respectful of you, and I'm going to wait for it. But I'll tell you the truth, here's where I get very upset, personally. You have an Ashkenazic shul, and for whatever reason, the shliach tzibur, you know, very often no one wants to go up to be the shatz. You know, so if there's no gabbai, like for example across the street here in Emre Shefer, it's a factory. You know, mincha might go on for hours and hours, even shachars, and there's no gabbai necessarily. In some minyanim there is a gabbai, but in many there aren't. And all of a sudden, you've got 9 Ashkenazim, again, I'm just dramatizing, and one Sfaradi goes up to the Amid, and he's makbid to daven like a Sfaradi. Chutz b'noira. If I would go next door, which I often do, because they call me in as the 10th man, in the Sfaradic shul here, right next door, and it's called the Dabach shul, and I would go up to the Amud and daven like an Ashkenazi, I would even go, what I saw, which was very impressive to me, in Carmiel, I just spent Shabbos in Carmiel, and the Rav of that shul is a straightforward yeshivish litvak, you know, Ashkenazi. But he's makpid that whatever he does for the tzibur, he recites Havaras Sfaradit, and he tells all the members of his kolel to do the same. This is the way we create one aguda, one single indivisible unit of a minhag. And how much more so if this person gets called up to be the Shliach Tzibur? I was called up to get an Aliyah. Normally, in most cases, if I get called up to give it to, as for an ola in a Sephardic shul, I will recite the brachos b'havaras sfaradit. Why? Because I'm representing the entire tzibur, and the tzibur is davening in havaras sfaradit. However, if I see that the community is sort of split, more or less equally split, and we happen to be all together in the same shul, and those who get an aliyah and Ashkenazim, they recite the brachos that way, and those who get it that way, they recite it that way, that's what I'll do. When it comes to tefillas when it comes to birchas hagomel, which we discussed last time, it's very strange. You know, you're in an Ashkenazi minyan, and Sfaradim will get up to the, you know, to the oven, and they'll recite tefillas haderech. And so I ask him, my high, you know, did you just land from Turkey? You know, which really, you know, you got to thank Hashem if you survived it. He says, no, I arrived from Yerushalayim. So I said, you traveled from Yerushalayim to Tzfat and you recited Birchas Hagomel? Hagomel, Chayim, Chayom, Tovah, Shegmalani, you saved me from a miracle. You know, had his, what's his name, Shweki say, give me my miracle, my nest, you know. So what kind of miracle is it? But that's the minhag of the Sfaradim, to recite Tefillas HaDerech in a trip that takes more than an hour and a quarter. And that's true for Tishkei. Okay, we'll stop here.